Hey everybody, and welcome to Film Actually News for the 22nd of January, 2012. This is our new, fast-paced, we hope, news show. Richard Gray, how
are you? It's not moving fast enough, let's go faster.
Faster. Richard Gray from The Real Bits, how are you?
I am really fast.
Fantastic. Josh Philpott from Raw DLC and the Hip Hop Net on whatever that... What is the URL?
Already done. Finished. Move on.
I'm bored.
All right, let's get on the first story. This is basically our new segment from Film Actually. We've moved it off into its own show. Our slogan here is loud and fast and under 30 minutes or your money back. This show will never be more than 30 minutes, hopefully less. Let's move on. First news story of the week that I thought was quite funny was that George Lucas says that he's ready to roll the credits on his career. He's basically saying at this point that he's done with it all. He doesn't want to do blockbusters anymore. He's sick of it all. He doesn't even want to run his business anymore. It's all too much. And he basically just wants to go off and do little art house films. This is not the first time we've heard this man say this.
Yeah.
It's not true.
That's impossible.
Really dark in here.
Yes, it is. All right, so now I think the more insidious part of this news story, guys, was the fact that George Lucas was actually, when he made this statement, was standing with his, I'm going to say this very slowly, girlfriend. Now, we've had this discussion before. where we were saying our suspicions were that he might be in a relationship with Rick McCallum. <You know? laughs> And yet, apparently, he has had a relationship for the 5 years with Melody Hobson. He appeared with her at the screening of, I think it was, Red Tails. And so, what does this mean? Is she just his handbag?
Well, you know, girlfriend after 5 years, just saying.
This is a man.
The five-year engagement.
Can I just point out that this is a man who is not fearful of controversy when you consider that he is a single man who actually adopted children on his own, and now his girlfriend, and I don't mean to sound racist or anything, but she is African-American. So you sit there and go, this is a man who is not fearful of actually raising any eyebrows.
Well, look, he's a man of the modern world.
I applaud him for that, but I really thought he was having a relationship with Rick McCallum, especially considering that I heard a press conference with Rick McCallum this week where he was actually talking about Star Wars Underworld, this new series that he's saying that is hot on the heels and will be out in about 15 years. But he basically sounded really, really sad when he was giving that speech. And all I can think is, do you think his heart's broken?
Maybe.
Maybe. I would like to say that it's funny that he says all this after I've just started reading the first reviews of Red Tails.
Yeah.
I'd just like to be the first to say I called it.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to say anything till I've seen this film because I'm still not convinced. The trailer looks good.
I disagree. But anyway.
All right. Yep. That's fair. All right. Moving right along. I believe, Richard, this is one of yours.
Yeah, well, this is about the movie The Artist, which is winning awards across the board everywhere. Everyone's—it's pretty much if there's an award ceremony, it's winning all the awards. Now, apparently, in the UK, some of the or cinemas have been forced to return the money to the patrons, who cinema goers have been storming out of screenings of The Artist, demanding refunds, not knowing that it's a silent black and white film.
There are so many reasons I hate them for that.
Yeah, there's a couple of things on this. One, well done you all for missing the giant hype machine around this film.
Absolutely.
So congratulations on that. Second of all, who demands their money back? It's like going into the zoo and going, well, I didn't get to see the tigers. I want my money back for the whole day.
Yeah. It obviously shows that what they went in for is really all that this film was about. They were just, they walked in and they went, what? It's silent? No, I'm out of here.
How could they not know it was a silent black and white film? It's being previewed and clipped
its whole
everywhere.
Thing.
That's its gimmick, its hook. That's what it's all
I would
about.
Like to say I don't like the concept of gimmick. I don't think that's fair.
No, it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. I'm sorry. You know what? It almost is like we're going, you know what? It's so refreshing to see this silent movie. Do you know what? The reason we invented Sam was because we didn't want to watch silent movies anymore.
And I think in this case, it's a film. I was actually, it was funny because I was on I was on ABC Radio earlier this week talking about
Oh, la-di-da.
What you really needed for me to say was something along the lines of,
oh, good for you.
There you go.
But I was actually talking about, one of the points that I made when I was on there, they were asking me about this, was the fact that, you know, the way we watch movies has changed over the last, you know, 8-9 decades, you know. We don't process films in the same way that we did when they were silent. The language of film is different now, and our brains just don't actually cope.
And I have no problem with them wanting. I have no problems with them wanting to make a silent black and white film. I think it's actually clever. I think it's ingenious. Let them do it, but it's a gimmick. You know, I mean, let's face it. This is a somebody who is trying expressing an artistic form. But you know, it's not something that is. We're not going to sit there and go, "Wow, you know what? That's so inventive." I think all of our films should be black and white and silent.
No, but at the same time, like, I think gimmick is such. Look, gimmick implies that it's using it as a way of selling itself. It's like having a film where you have nothing, you can't utter a word, and everything has to be an emotion. That's not a gimmick. That's
stylistic style of
film. Exactly. Yeah. I do not like that at all. No, sorry.
It's like saying that any film that's an action film, that's their gimmick. They're an action film. It's kind of like they've chosen this form to tell their story in. Now, I've not seen the film. I'm seeing it next week. Really looking forward to it. I think that this movie has a lot to offer people. Clearly, it's winning awards across the board. For people to stand up and walk out because it's not what they expected is a very close-minded audience.
Oh, look, I don't doubt at all that this film is going to win Best Picture at the Oscars. I have no doubt in my mind. I just want to point out that according to the dictionary, gimmick actually says a trick or device intended to attract attention. So that's the actual term gimmick, and okay, I grant you that's probably not what they're doing.
You mean like a soundboard, David?
Like a soundboard, absolutely. So, like, all right, you know what?
You're not even interesting enough to make me sick.
Thank you. All right, let's move on.
Next story.
Josh, what is this about Dark Shadows?
I just figured we'd have a little bit of a chat about the fact that there's another Tim Burton movie coming out, and strangely enough, I know this is going to shock both of you, but Helena Bonham Carter and Johnny Depp seem to be in this film.
What?
Yeah. Wow. I know. Mind-blowing stuff. But then at the same time, we've finally seen some pictures coming out. And I'm not sure if you guys have followed this, because it's starting to get a little bit creepy, because it's like the first screenshots we saw just shattered me. I was like, you've got to be kidding. It's like at first it was a joke that we thought this is what you were doing. And Dave, of course, called the card that he was trying to be Madonna I completely agree, dude. Dave, I think you hit that on the head. And then
yeah, looking at it now, I think you're right.
and to see him now come back as the king of pop is disgusting, insulting, and also just a real low moment in Johnny Depp's career. But then we get these other shots. I just tried to use my finger on my non-touch screen to move
something. I've done that.
But I would like to say that these new pictures have shown up that have him as like this creepy little child that's really scary and soft-looking, but also kind of like a vampire.
He vaguely looks like Eddie Munster.
Yeah, it's weird. I just have no idea what this film's going to be like.
Well, I remember Dark Shadows was a TV series, wasn't it? This is a remake of a TV series. I remember this TV series vaguely. None of this rings a bell.
Our good friend Cam Williams over at Popcorn Junkies, who's been on panels before, he described this as Johnny Depp's low-pressure water shower moment.
Oh, snap. That's great.
That's great. Okay, that picture is disturbing on so many levels. His fingers are elongated. That's weird. Okay, moving on. Richard, you've got some long-ass thing here about awards.
Look, we've already covered it. Long ass thing is basically that the artist is winning pretty much awards across the board.
Critics never win anything, dude.
That's true. We pat ourselves on the back a fair bit, though. We have our own societies. Next, you should be saying that we should have our own schools. basically, look, it's award season, so I can't let this week's news go without mentioning the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes, of course, The Artist won Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical.
What? No. Yes,
but one of the dark horses is still possibly The Descendants, which is the George Clooney Alexander Payne film that won Best Film Drama over films like Hugo and War Horse and all these big dramatic entries that would, you know, normally dominate that sort of category. So
I'm not sure if I'm entirely surprised that Payne won awards.
No, I mean, his last major film was Sideways, so and this is his first film in quite some time, so it's a triumphant return for him. Mm. I think it's got that sort of, I think we're in a position now to call things quite early. The BAFTAs have been announced, though, and of course, The Artist has won most of the, sorry, he's been nominated across the most categories there with 12, I believe. But Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy has got 11 nominations.
Yeah,
so
you know what? I think this is the, in the BAFTAs, I think we actually have the one set of awards where The Artist is going to get a run for its money. Because I think between Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, because it's such a hit in Europe and England, that I think that The Artist may not be quite the darling that it is everywhere else.
No, but I think we're in a position now. I could almost call the Oscars at The Artist is Best Picture. I was going to say that The Artist director was going to win Best Director, but Martin Scorsese won for Hugo for the Golden Globes, and it's possible that he'll win for that as well.
Yeah, because I think The Artist the film that directed itself.
Yes, exactly right. It's Michael Azazan. I think his name is pronounced. That's why I avoided.
We apologize to him in advance.
I apologize in advance. Yes, I actually got the pronunciation of his name down right the other day.
Did you say pronunciation?
The irony of that statement was fantastic,
David. I'm drunk.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant. I love that.
Wasting time. Moving on. Yeah, but basically, I think we can call that to the director. We can call Jean Dujardin. See, I just made up for it. As best actor, I think we can call Meryl Streep as best actress. I think we can call Christopher Plummer as best supporting actor for The Beginners. I think we can call Octavia Spencer.
Dude.
I'm bored.
Let's move on. I don't care.
Yes, you do.
No, I do, but not for this, because you know what? We can sit here and announce award winners or award nominations all night, but we only have about 10 minutes left, so let's move on.
We've got 17 minutes left.
No, we don't. Oh, well, maybe we do. Yeah. Josh, do you want to move on?
What? I'm fine. Have you got many? Look, is there many left on your list?
Look, you know what?
I think Josh, you're pretty much done, right?
Richard, oh, look, Richard, you know I don't care
Richard,
anymore.
Richard,
let's do
you
it.
Put Josh to sleep. All right.
All right. Next one.
All right. Next one. Josh, tell me about Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. He looks like a really weird homeless man now.
He's bringing the cape back, man.
Dude, I don't know whether the cape really works for him. And also, the more stuff they add to his costume, the less scary he looks.
I'm sorry, he's looking a bit like a superhero in this picture. What's with the chest emblem?
What is that? I actually tried to load up the picture before. I can't make out what
it
is.
All right, so for those who don't know what we're talking about, a first look picture of Vin Diesel has come out for the new Riddick sequel. And
he posted himself on his Facebook page.
Well, of course he did. He's the master of self-promotion, this man. But we're just looking at this picture, and this picture is awful. It's got the big side. He looks like something out of a comic book.
Yeah, it definitely looks like the kind of thing that maybe they're testing at this stage. Maybe it's not quite, you know, there yet. I mean, that's what I'm kind of hoping.
Well, they released some concept art earlier, and it looks exactly like that. So,
well, no, actually, I disagree, because I'm looking at the concept, because there's a picture of the concept art above this photograph, and in the concept art, he doesn't have the chest emblem or.
Oh, that's true. He has the helmet.
He's got a helmet, and he doesn't have the shoulder pads, and the cape looks a bit more. I could go with that concept art.
Oh no, hang on. That concept art is not the concept art that was released earlier. There was a separate bit of concept art that actually had. Him with the emblem and the cape and everything big full-on.
I'm going to go with what I've got here in front of me. And yeah. I actually like that piece of concept art. I don't like this actual costume. I think it's terrible.
Yeah. No.
But you never know. It might film well.
Who knows? But you know what? As long as they make the film R-rated and they go back to the roots of something like Pitch Black, we're in.
Speaking of ratings, that's coming up soon.
Oh, yeah. We'll come back to that, baby. All right. Richard.
This is one I just liked, Cormac McCarthy, who, you know, wrote
that happy-go-lucky film, The Road.
He wrote that happy-go-lucky Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Road, which was made into a okay film, but also that terrific novel, No Country for Old Men, which was made into a awesome film called No Country for Old Men.
Really?
Yeah. turned up.
He's in a trend here.
Yeah, he turned. Well, you know, rather than writing another novel and then having a movie based on it, which was called the same name as the novel, he was expected to turn up to his agent with a new book. Instead, he turned up with a screenplay. And it's his first screenplay that he's written on spec for, the first screenplay he's sold on spec to the studios. And basically the producing team behind The Road have bought it, and they're already describing it very much as a No Country for Old Men vibe. It's about a lawyer who tries to sell drugs, but it all goes horribly wrong.
So it's not going to be a happy-go musical fun Muppet sequel.
Cormac McCarthy's a nihilist. No, I don't think it will. it's going to be called The Counselor. Lest we forget that No Country for Old Men was written as a script that he couldn't sell. So he wrote it as a novel, which was then in turn adapted into a screenplay and being an Oscar-winning film.
You know, the other time that's actually happened, that was actually Braveheart.
Yeah.
When he wrote the screenplay to Braveheart first, nobody would touch it. And he was told, they said, go make it into a novel because then we can adapt it. And so he did. He went and made it into a novel, then sold it, then wrote the screenplay again. It's like, what the hell?
Wouldn't you just pull it out from under your desk and blow the dust off it and give it to them?
That's what I would do. It's like, didn't I tell you in the first place? Anyway, all right, well, I'm very curious. I'm very curious. The biggest question is going to be, who's going to make this film?
Yeah, well, Brett Ratner. Yes.
Just off the top of my head.
Eddie Murphy will play the lead regardless of how it's described in the screenplay.
Damn straight. Now, there's a movie I will not go see. All right. Now, Josh, you touched me with this story. Can I just tell you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I actually heard about this earlier in the week.
Well, there'll be no touching in this film.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. There will
and
be no touching.
If there is, it'll only be in the extended cut you buy on DVD and Blu-ray.
All right. So tell us about the story, Josh.
Look, I think really there doesn't need to be too much depth before we all kind of go nuts at this one. I think I'll just give it as the title, which is The Expendables 2 has been neutered to a PG-13 rating.
Oh, yeah.
Can we just start?
And all I got to say about that is, me.
Yeah. Dude, I love that the picture that they've got for this particular article comes from Stop or My Mum Will Shoot. And that is exactly where my mind went.
Now, according to the article I read, and I don't know if it's in this particular article or not. Yeah, actually, it is in this article. Apparently, this is Chuck Norris's fault. He said that when he was actually approached to do it, he said that he will do it, but it can't have any of that horrible blood or violence stuff.
What? You mean like the first film?
Yeah, like the first one. It's like, did he watch the first film? You know, it's like, no,
probably didn't. No.
No, probably not. Now, apparently, he's gone all kind of weird and soft in his old age and doesn't like that violence and blood stuff. So it was a condition of his contract that the film had to be brought in for a PG-13.
Wow. You know what? I would have ditched him over making this a PG-13. Like, I just cannot see this working.
How big a hard-on must have these producers had to get Chuck Norris in this film?
Well, again, they're going for the sell, it looks like, but they may have just sold out.
According to this article you've published, which is from Film School Rejects, it says, is it Chuck Norris's fault? It says, who knows? What's probably happening is an increase in budget to cover the new additions. All right, so there's been fresh news after this has come out, which is talking about his contract. So I think it's shocking.
I think that if you are going to jump on board with something like this, you really have to realize what it is.
Mm.
Like, this wasn't exactly the smartest of films, and it really didn't have a storyline or any epic, sort of dialogue in any way or form.
No, it had big muscles and big guns.
Yeah, exactly. And to hear this kind of makes you go, all the people that were definitely in to go see this are now kind of fencing whether or not they're even going to bother.
Mm. I love the comments on this. First of all, there was the email from that he wrote to Ain't It Cool saying, Sylvester Stallone wrote saying, the PG-13 rumor is true, but before your readers pass judgment, trust me when we say this film is large on every way and delivers on every level. The movie touches on many emotions, which we want to share with the broadcast as possible. And then I love the article's comment on that. It goes, really? Now there's no cursing, not much blood, and we have to deal with emotions?
And there ain't going to be any boobies in this one, let me tell you. So No, I am.
I love the last line, actually. At any rate, making Simon West direct anything PG should be illegal. Well done, Film School Rejects. You always make me laugh.
Absolutely.
No, this is a movie for adults that's been shoved into a Happy Meal box.
That is so good. No, this is just terrible. Look, The Expendables is not a work of art. The Expendables was a loud, violent film with lots of blood, guns, and muscles, and too much testosterone for its own good. So if you take out... So if you take, I'll give yourself a cheer for that one, Richard.
No. I'm reading from the article.
Oh, you are? Okay. So if you take out the blood, the violence, the gore, the swearing, the boobies, what's left? Nothing.
Chuck Norris sitting in a bathtub.
Really, Chuck Norris really scowling. Old actors that look like handbags.
Oh yeah, so much so. No, I think they just lost points in my book. I don't know if I'm racing to see this one now. I quite liked Expendables 1. I thought it was stupid fun.
I think I've shifted down to a mild shuffle. I think that's where I'm at. Shuffle. I'm still going, but it's going to be very labored.
Oh, okay. All right. I think the concept of this rating...
You're not even interesting enough to make me sick.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's the news, everybody.
That we came in with 8 minutes to spare. Let me just say...
Yay! All right, Richard, where can people find more of you on the internet?
They can find me at therealbits.com. That's therelbits.com. And there's a link on there to all my other things, including Twitter.
And Josh, where people find you?
RawDRC.com, gaming website. Go check it out. I also do music. You can find that on my Facebook page.
Fantastic. And you can find me at geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh, or just go to hit the follow us button, I should say, on the Geek Actually page. And you can find everything about all of us at any time. And that's it, gentlemen. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
It's over. Go home. Go.